Sunshine 96.7 FM, WMTB LP St. Petersburg, Radio St. Pete, where local music lives.
Hello, St. Petersburg. Hello, Tampa Bay. How we doing, beaches? Happy Friday, Radio St. Pete. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, and we are up next.
Hey, I'm Damon Fowler, and nothing gives me the blues more than listening to the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show.
Okay, here we go. Happy Friday, folks. My name is Mark, and this is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show.
Show.
Mm-hmm. We are coming to you live as we do every Friday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. from our Genzo Garb Treehouse Studio, located in the historic Jungle Prada neighborhood of St. Petersburg, Florida.
You've gotten very good at that.
I wasn't even reading it. I've just memorized it.
Look at you go.
It's been a while. I do it every week. I don't know if you noticed. But you find folks are checking us out on either Radio St. Pete online or on Sunshine, 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, where what?
Local music lives.
So we
make fun of us when we do that.
Right. So
For no reason
whatsoever. Okay. Sorry.
In the studio. So we have a special situation here this evening. We try to have guests on the show from time to time. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But tonight I think we have a special guest that I've been looking forward to having on the show for a bit, ever since I discovered Chris on Facebook and saw what he was doing with your whole radio thing. But we'll get to that in a minute. So in the studio, we have, across the table from me, my blushing bride, Stephanie. As usual, to her right is our boy, Ty Ginn.
Hello.
And then to his right would be our special guest, Christopher Lawrence.
Hi.
Hi. Right. So we were anticipating another special guest as well, the Reverend Esme Russell,
yes.
Which she may still show up. So don't be surprised if all of a sudden we have another voice on the show this evening. So, listen, when you told me prior to us coming upstairs to the studio that she was, 57 minutes out, stuck in traffic over in Tampa, please don't stress yourself out to try to get here. This is a dumb little show. This is not important. We're not going to hand you a bunch of money for getting here.
This is not a priority.
Well, it's good to be here.
Good.
Wait, there's no money?
There's no money.
No.
Getting out.
I can't pay you tonight if I'm not going to pay the guest.
Well, I never.
Right. You never what?
Exactly.
Not ever any money?
So anyway, folks, we do have quite a bit to talk about this evening, and we have quite a bit to talk about in a shorter period of time. If you're a listener to the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, you know that our show goes from 6 to 8 p.m. Every Friday evening. But this evening, we're going from 6 to 7:30 because Radio St. Pete Online and Sunshine 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete have a special jazz show this evening that they're going to be playing live and airing live promptly at 7:30. So be
that's a good excuse.
Well, listen.
Trying to rush us out. I see. It's fine.
It's Osamdo Jazz. It's, I think, well, at least the singer, the jazz singer, is Brazilian. And her name is Andrea Moraes Manson. And I know that she's joined in the band along with her husband. He, I believe, is the sax player. And I think his name is Charles Manson.
David. No.
Maybe not Charles Manson.
You see that right there? That's why they keep cutting us back. You can't have nice things.
This week it's a half hour off. Next week it's going to be 45
you know
minutes off.
You know why it really happened? Because we talked about an ass-eating strep.
Oh,
that's
yes,
what it was.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah. A show goes there sometimes. But,
it happens.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'm
folks.
Used to it.
Yeah. So anyway, folks, we do have quite a bit to talk about. We definitely want to learn about what's happening with Christopher Lawrence, Chris. I'm going to say this. Well, first of all, let me give the phone number out. If you want to call in and play along, if you want to call in and speak to Chris, you can do so. All you have to do is call 727-498-0502. One more time, 727-498-0502. Now, one of the interesting things about Chris is that Chris and his crew have a show on WMNF, and it is the Big Gay Radio Show.
Yes.
I think that's fantastic.
I do, too.
Well, we appreciate that we have that spot on WMNF because it's in the LGBTQ community, it's not very prominent to have radio figures in this this industry, at least.
Right.
So it's nice to actually have a place where LGBTQ people can have their own show, basically.
Yeah, I think it's very good. And so if you were to give me sort of like a rundown. First of all, let's break it down. So when does the show air?
So we are on Thursday mornings from midnight to 3 a.m.
Okay.
So technically Wednesday nights, but Thursday mornings.
Okay.
And it's every week, either hosted by me, my trans co-host Esme Russell, Brian Hinkson, and we're also having a couple different other LGBTQ people doing a bunch of different roles. So we have Sean Kelly, who is our voiceover artist.
Okay.
We have David Borman with Tampa Bay Gay, who does a community calendar segment. And then we have Joanna Grosso, who does a news segment to talk about all the different LGBTQ news stories that might not necessarily be getting the attention that it deserves.
Now, Brian Hinkson, I am aware of him because I listen to The Bone all day
yes.
long. And I have heard him from time to time as he's running the board for different shows.
Yes.
So I'm aware of him. At one point during one of the shows, they were asking him what his, I guess, side hustle was, and he mentioned your show, The Big Gay Radio Show. So
yep.
I thought that was pretty cool. And I was like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I get it, right.
Brian is definitely very talented when it comes to working the board. He doesn't run the board for us, but he definitely does a great job over at The Bone.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Definitely does. So you're over at WMNF, and I think before the show I was telling you that my dad has always been a huge supporter of WMNF. And, I mean, from time to time he's like, did you hear that story that they were playing earlier today or yesterday or whatever it was? And I don't necessarily – I love WMNF, but I have to be in that space.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's very informative radio, but it is set at a snail's pace,
mm-hmm.
kind of. And that's not why I don't listen to it. It's just that, we do our show once a week, and it's called the Happy Hour Show. So our show is basically designed as if we are all sat at a table for happy hour,
mm-hmm.
and whatever comes up, comes up. A lot of the things that they cover on WMNF are a little bit heavier than what we would want to talk about.
And lengthier.
Yeah.
You know, and we're...
We talked about ass-eating strep. That's not a big deal to you?
It's definitely... WMNF does have its own little pace, but we are... Since we're in the midnight to 3 a.m. time slot, we try to keep it a lot more energetic, a lot more light with our stories. Like, we'll talk about the different... various different things that happen within the community. And also, we'll talk about a lot more risky things. Like we've talked about whether or not Esme as a trans person will masturbate and go on that kind of tangent in that regard. So we aren't too shying away from controversy on our show.
I dig that. I totally dig that. And there's nothing better in my mind that to have something come out over the air that I guess I call it like the shock and awe
mm-hmm.
factor. It's like, did they just say that?
Yeah.
And now what do I think about that?
I like to call us the sort of next generation of jocks because what's, the next generation of shock jocks because what's more shocking than a woman with a penis that yes. talks about whipping it out and going to the bathroom during Avatar?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I don't really think there is much, much of a line that will tell, basically.
Well, I dig that. That's very cool. And it's, you know, it's just basically, when it comes down to it, it's just being real.
Exactly.
It is what it is. I mean, this is the way we are. This is what we think. And this is what we're talking about.
And that's what's missing, especially within the LGBTQ community. Cause a lot of these topics that are being brought up aren't being talked about by trans personalities. These news hosts, they're not trans personalities. They're not gay individuals. So they're giving a perspective from outside of the community. So, something that I really love about our show is every single person is a member of the community. We have a cisgender bisexual doing the news. We've got a gay black man. I'm a gay white man. Mm-hmm. Esme's trans. Every single person on our show is LGBTQ. So you're going to have the perspective of the actual community as opposed to, you know, it's just somebody who doesn't necessarily understand.
Right.
And we do have our allies come onto the show, but it's predominantly going to be the LGBTQ individuals giving their perspective on everything.
So let me ask you this, you know, especially now where we're in an election year and politics are, you know, on the forefront.
on fire.
Is there a situation where you're getting any kind of blowback because of your show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I've actually been personally dealing with quite a bit of negative attacks from various different individuals. There's also been some people who've we call them TERFs, which is called a trans exclusionary radical feminist. And they
otherwise known as Karen.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And their idea is that trans women take away the idea of femininity from cisgender females. So we've had a couple people call in with that perspective and attacking Esme as a trans individual and us because at the time we didn't have Joanna Grosso doing the news. So they were very against the fact that we didn't have any cisgender females on the show.
Can I just stop you there for a second? Because okay. So I think it was yesterday. Steph and I were going over the whole LGBTQ
IA.
Mm-hmm. And then their plus. What is cis?
Cisgender is anybody who's not transgender. So it's basically, you know, if you are born a male, identify as a male throughout the entirety of your life, you are a cisgender male. So it in a
so
sort of the most
straight, like a straight male.
So straight is about sexuality.
Okay.
Cisgender and transgender is about their gender identity.
Okay.
So, basically, you would be a cisgender man because you, I'm assuming, have identified as a man your entire life. I wouldn't judge. But that would make you as a cisgender individual. So in the brashest terms, it is what is considered quote-unquote normal.
Right.
Essentially. It is anything that is not transgender or intersex or Native Americans have two sexes. What is known as two sex? Excuse me.
Okay. So, who would you say the blowback that you're getting? Who would that be coming from? I mean, more often than not.
Honestly, probably. So the funny thing is that another part of the blowback has not been really necessarily about the trans aspect of it. Mm-hmm. There has been a previous host that has been like trying to get us looked at as bad.
Okay.
So that's sort of the other aspect.
Why do you
of
suppose
it.
That is? Is it because of their religious
no,
beliefs?
No, so he started the show. And then
So also part of the community.
Yeah, so he's a gay male. He started the show as under his name, his big gay radio show. And then he eventually brought on Brian Hinkson, and this was about 2 years ago. And then Brian brought on Esme as a guest, and then Esme jumped on as an actual host because they had the realization that Esme will not stop talking, no matter what.
Right.
So they brought Esme on, and then I came on as a guest because I was working for a charity around here, and they wanted to have me come on to talk about the charity. And then I kind of asked, but I also like sort of didn't. Like, I was like, just kind of threw it out there, like, hey, if you need anything, just let me know. And he brought up like, hey, we need a news personality. So I started doing the news for his show. And then when I started doing the news, I asked if you needed a producer. So I came in, started learning how to do the board, and then he just stopped showing up. Yeah. And then when he did show up, he would come in completely intoxicated and like,
love that,
to the point where it was like it was messy. And then he would also bring in his side flings and stuff like that. And it was just an overall uncomfortable experience.
Right.
And eventually I sort of put my foot down to him and I said, I'm not doing the show anymore under your name. Because it was his name, Brian Esme's Big Gay Radio Show at the time. So I had no credit. I wasn't on the title or anything like that. So at that time, I told them, I'm stepping away. I can't do this anymore. Because when he wouldn't show up, it would usually be told about 10 minutes before.
Right.
And we're a hybrid show. So yeah, we do both talk and music.
Sure.
So right, in that 10 minutes, I would have to plan a 3-hour show of music and setting everything up basically all on my own. And I didn't feel like I deserved that stress.
I was, we had a brief conversation, you know, going to that point just before the show started. And I was telling you, you know, what I do to prepare for the show. You know, I'm taking notes all week long and that kind of thing. My biggest fear, our show is 2 hours. My biggest fear is getting somewhere in the middle of that 2 hours and going, now what? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And that's what's so great about Esme and Brian is that they're extremely talkative. They want to go ahead and like continue the conversation as much as possible.
Yeah.
But at that time, it was really awkward. The chemistry on the air, it was very obvious that we were all uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Except for him. Of course. And, you know, he's the problem. It's him. And so after, you know, I put my foot down, WMNF reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we've seen that he hasn't been putting his, you know, best foot forward. I want you to continue the show as the main host. And I said, absolutely. I just want to make sure that there's no names on the show, because having a name before the big gay radio show, it seems like it's a detraction away from what we are. We are
the community.
A show that is based for the community. It's not our show.
Right.
It's the community show.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good philosophy. I dig that. So we're going to immediately after the show, we're going to take my name off. Because this show is for the people, damn it.
All the comrades.
I never meant it like that. Because it's definitely, I mean, it's a usual thing. There's a couple of shows that have like people's names on it at WMNF too. And obviously you've got the Mike Calta show over on the boat and everything like that. But at the end of the day, and it comes back to the fact that LGBTQ individuals don't necessarily have that big of a perspective and that big of a platform in radio as other sexualities and other gender identities and everything. Yeah. Like, it's great that we've started actually getting to the point where there are a lot more female voices, but there still needs to be a little bit more effeminate voices.
Sure.
There needs to be a little bit more trans voices. There needs to be a lot more different. It can't. Not everybody can be the sexy, deep-voiced man that Mike Calta is.
Do you feel in any way, because of the nature of the show, and do you feel that you're sort of pigeonholed into the time slot that you're in because of the nature of your show?
Honestly, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because you have people like Mike Calta, you have people like Drew Garabo, Roger and JP on the bone who have very little limits as to what they're able to talk about and what they're able to, they're limited just based off of the FCC regulations. Yeah, yeah. They can do whatever they want to in terms of talking. So I think as a whole, you know, we can go to any other place. I really do like our time slot because, one, it's a kind of out of the way for myself. I can, you know, schedule this out as best as I possibly can. But it's also, you know, one of those things where we are a very niche show. We are very much a show that doesn't necessarily have that much of a range of, you know, I guess differentiated from, like, I don't know. So I don't necessarily think that it would be limited, but I don't necessarily think that we are, I would want to move.
So let me ask you this. Now, your show is like, what, midnight to three?
Yes.
Okay. I can tell you right now that I will never listen to it live. That is way too late for me. I'm so lucky if I make it to 7:30.
And Apple Podcasts.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering. If you're looking to go to any kind of archives, Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you can't go to WMNF and look at their archives.
Yeah, you can.
You can.
So on WMNF's website, they have the Big Gay Radio Show on there, where you can listen to the show for 7 days after, and then it goes basically away. But on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, it's the whole, I think, year and a half worth of time that we've had on the show, that it's been under my control, at least.
That's cool. So do you feel comfortable at all speaking more about Esme?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that I thought was interesting is that you put in one of your messages to me that you were going to bring Rev Esme Russell.
Yes.
So the Reverend part to me is kind of interesting. And I started thinking about this, and it's like, I would think, see, I'm not a religious person at all. Never have been. Wasn't raised that way. I'm just not. Okay. But I would think that if I was part of the community, and I got the blowback from religious people about being in the community, that kind of thing, that I would never even consider becoming a reverend. I mean, I
bet it makes them mad.
Well, I get it. There are all kinds of churches now. There are a lot of progressive churches and things like that. What kind of church is Esme a reverend of?
So that is definitely a question that I would pin to Esme, because I'm not 100% sure of the specifics as to what she has. However, that's honestly a really big misconception that we try to disprove with our show. A lot of LGBTQ individuals do have that spiritual aspect. They might not necessarily go to the extremes of being devout Catholics and everything like that. But there is a large amount of people who do subscribe to the Christian faith that are LGBTQ. And there's also a lot of churches around here that very much push forward the idea that everybody is here to be equal. The progressive churches, exactly. Yeah. In fact, like, I saw one of the churches that I'm blanking on the name, but when drag started getting targeted in media and started getting targeted in legislation, they posted that...
Who do you suppose was responsible for that?
Don't comment. Let Chris
no comment. But when it started being targeted in the legislation, they posted that if anybody was experiencing a situation where they weren't able to find a venue for their drag performances or anything along those lines, that they would be the space to host a drag performance. If they're getting canceled, then they have that space to go ahead and basically use it. And I think that's, you know, one of those things where, you know, the world is a very big world out there, and everybody has their own ideological facts, basically, and what they think is correct and what they think is wrong. So Esme very much, she the reason why she became a Red Friend was because she wanted to go ahead and marry one of her, I think it was one of her drag children. And she didn't want to necessarily go through the notoriety or the notary process. She wanted to go and specifically get that title of being a reverend. And I think it's exactly what you said in that it kind of throws it into their face.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why you can have your titles. I'll take my title. I'll do everything that you can and put it, go through all the different procedures that you ask me to have the same title as you. It's not going to change the fact that I exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly. And somebody I was talking to earlier today started going down a road in a conversation, and I said, be careful. Be careful what you say here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we have our own situation here in our family that we're very proud of and loving and all of that. But
that's the right answer.
Yeah, thank you.
That is the right.
But the where they were leading was, why don't you ask them why the trans community is making this push to put their situation in our faces? And I'm like, are they really doing that? I mean, are they doing that? I mean, when is this happening?
I mean, we're talking about the people who are looking at trans people and curious about where they go
and
to the bathroom.
And this is somebody who claims to be a Christian.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's
who I've also heard throughout the N-word. So just so you know,
it's a very hypocritical situation because it's very much a he in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's I'm really grateful that we have this show because we do go into that sort of aspect as to why Esme decided to become a reverend. We went ahead and decided to talk about the different, you know, people that are in the LGBTQ community. We've even had people that are psychic mediums come on to talk about, you know, how being an ally has affected that industry.
Mm-hmm.
We've even talked about construction. We've had construction individuals talk about the Pride Construction Coalition. What we do, we try our best to, you know, dispel the idea that any one person is a blanket person. We are all individuals. We all have our own specific, unique story to tell.
You just mentioned something about the Pride Construction, and I don't know if it has anything to do with this or not, but I saw a post of yours yesterday on Facebook, and you said that you were calling all artists to help refurbish our Progressive Pride Street mural. And that's where is that downtown St.
Yep.
Pete? And is it what exactly is it? Is it just one huge mural on a building or is
no,
it?
No, it's a road mural. So
okay.
It's
I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's the massive rainbow one that's on Central.
Yeah. So you're hoping to just have it redone.
So that's actually done by the city. The LGBTQ liaison for the city, Jim Nixon, he's helping with get that taken care of. And yes, exactly that. It needs a little bit of a touch up because driving on it all the time. Central Avenue is a very, very dense pop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people drive over it. So I think they've started doing it every year now.
And they need to with the amount of traffic that's going on downtown.
Exactly.
How much time do you spend downtown?
Oh, all the time.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What do you think of what's happening downtown, let's say, over the last five years?
Keep in mind, he's very young.
Yeah, but still, over the last 4 or 5 years, you've seen a lot of the historic St. Pete structures and things like that go by the wayside. Now, all of a sudden, they're condos. I mean, it's almost like, hey, pump the brakes a little bit, because now all of a sudden, not only are you building these skyscrapers, but you're also building all of these condos. Where's everybody going to park, for one thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And let's stop doing away with the music venues and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's enough already. It was so fantastic. When we first moved down here, I mean, this has been back in, 98?
98.
We moved down here. You didn't go downtown St. Pete.
No.
No.
No man's land.
My parents actually, because I'm born and raised here. I've lived in Pinellas County my entire life, basically. Okay. The only time that I lived out of Pinellas County was for 4 years, and from when I was born to 4 years old, I lived in Newport Richey. And, so I've seen this area grow a lot and change a lot over the last 23 years.
When they started doing the refurbishment downtown, it was like, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden
it started taking off, and it's like, hold it.
Yeah, they just didn't stop.
Yeah, it's enough already. It's enough.
I would really like to see a lot more affordable housing options as opposed to the various condos, because you're exactly right. It's really sad that these places are going from these very cute, homey structures to
great architecture.
Just giant condo buildings.
I don't want to stop you, but the thing is, we do have to take a break.
Understood.
All right, so we have Christopher Lawrence here in the studio with us. He's from WMNF's the big gay show, big gay radio show, I'm sorry. And we're having a fantastic conversation. We will continue that conversation after this break. I'm going to play a little ditty right now. It's called Bring It On Home, and it's by, who's it by?
I don't remember.
Oh, Sister Hazel.
Ah, right.
Dig this, we'll be right back.
Change your mind about leaving me behind. Oh, bring it to me. Bring your sweet loving. Just bring it on home to me. Yeah. I know I laughed when you left, but now I know I only hurt myself. But oh, bring it to me. Bring your sweet loving. Just bring it on home to me.
Okay, so that was Bring It On Home by Sister Hazel. I picked that last night when I was picking music. Kind of a love song, and I thought it was sort of, unisex. It's just a love song.
Local legend.
Yeah, local legend.
Gibbs High School.
You said you're from here. Where'd you go to high school?
Seminole High.
Did you really?
Yeah.
We used to live right down the street.
Yeah, oh, wow. I literally lived off of Park Boulevard. I was on 132nd Avenue. I don't know. 132nd something.
We were on 122nd Street.
Oh, wow. Yeah, literally right there.
In 86
and 122nd.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Ty went to Seminole High School for a bit.
Well, parts of it.
Parts of it.
When I decided to go.
I like going to Seminole High School to leave Seminole High School.
Yes.
Is what I said.
Yes, it was very convenient.
My senior year, I was not necessarily the greatest kid. I think I skipped 230 classes during my senior year. So it's Seminole is a nice, fun place to be able to just kind of drive around and stay away from administrators.
It's a great school to skip from. Because exactly. You got the graveyard right there. And if you get over the hill, you made it. You're gone.
Exactly.
Well, if you're only 23, geez, I'm trying to do the math. When did you graduate?
2018.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Man. Yeah, that math works.
I have shoes older than you.
My favorite's people say who they have underwear older than me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yep.
When I was thinking about that statement I was about to make, I was like, do I say underwear or shoes?
There is not a single thing that you can say that would actually make me uncomfortable. So like one of the first times that I came on when I was a producer on the previous iteration of the show, the first question that the old host asked me was if I was ever molested.
Right. Nice.
So at that point I was like, yep, there's no... There's no
hold
gloves are off. There's no filter.
Nice. So
funny. Seminole High School.
Yeah, that's cool.
I've got questions for you after the show.
Run.
Oh, what was that one teacher's name? Candy. Candy.
Gilbert.
Candy Gilbert. Oh, look, she's he started there? Sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
My lovely. Sister had her.
Yeah. She's lovely.
Okay.
No comment.
We'll talk.
I was very lucky to have some very good teachers. Okay. There were some others that I didn't necessarily agree with. One was a substitute teacher who actually started working at St. Petersburg College.
Oh no!
And I actually I cursed them out at St. Petersburg College because they decided to. I was 18 at the time, I left my parents' place and I was working about 100 hours a week. So I wasn't necessarily focused too much on schoolwork. I would go to the classes, but I wouldn't do too much on the assignments. And she decided that the responsible thing to do would be in front of the entire class, look at me in the eye and say loudly, why haven't I done any work? In front of the entire class.
Right.
And I was like, you're not going to sit here and embarrass me in front of this class for no reason other than the fact that I just didn't do my work. That's not right. So she eventually said, do you want to take this outside? And I'm like, yeah, let's take it outside. And she's like, you can't talk to me like that. And I'm like,
I hope you kicked her ass.
I just did. Yeah, just put your hands up. No, I didn't. I am not. I'm a nonviolent person.
There you go.
I am very much a pacifist, but I take no S.
So yeah. I have a couple of questions now. How long have you been doing the radio thing?
So I started about, I think, 2 years now.
Okay.
I started 2 years ago as the news anchor in January of 2022. Then by around June, I became the producer. And then by the February of 23, I took over the show as my own. So it's been my own show for about a year now.
So is radio something you hope to continue to pursue?
I would love to.
Okay.
So I've done, you know, broadcasting and...
There's a car getting ready to turn. Does that look like Esme?
I don't think that's Esme's car.
Okay.
I'll go down and look. It's probably a peacock walking across the street.
That makes sense.
But okay. I'll check.
Well, they got their turn signal on though.
We'll continue.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're strutting down, driving down the street now.
We have peacocks, so they
gotta love St. Petersburg's peacocks.
They don't hesitate to just walk out in the middle of the road. I can't believe the road isn't littered with dead peacocks. It's amazing.
St. Pete's got the peacocks and Ybor's got the chickens.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they got the other kind of, you know.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
And what's interesting is in the city of St. Petersburg, you are allowed to have chickens in a residential area, but they must be confined.
Confined, yeah.
And no roosters, chickens only. But it's really interesting when you look into it, the different farm animals you're allowed to keep and how many within a residential area.
I've always wanted to get a raccoon.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Well, you know, they're very cool. They're very sly. They're very crafty. They got those dexterous fingers. Opposable thumbs. Yeah.
My cat's really big, so I can just imagine having a raccoon riding him like a horse.
Yeah, that might go over well.
I would love that.
How would that go over at your house, Ty?
Well, he's not big enough.
I don't think Apollo would be into it.
I got a kitten about a year ago now, and he would do the exact same thing. He would jump on his back, and then Conrad, the larger cat, would run around the house with him on his back.
Oh, that's the hysterical. Funniest
thing. That's cool.
No, Ty's cat thinks he's a ninja. He'll let you pet him like twice.
Yeah, and then
he's attack. On his back feet.
Because he doesn't like you.
I know he doesn't like you. There's a reason he doesn't like me.
He's not normally like that.
Right. So I don't know that much about the downtown experience as far as the LGBTQ community goes. So what is there? Is there a section? Is it just widespread? I mean, what's happening downtown? I mean, where are you hanging out?
There are a couple LGBTQ specific places. Honestly, the entirety of Kenwood is pretty LGBTQ friendly. Downtown doesn't necessarily like where the tall buildings are specifically. Yeah, yeah. They don't necessarily have as many, but sort of there's Enigma, which is sort of over in the Edge District. And then there's Cocktail, which I'm going to probably be at later today because they have every first and third Friday, they have a leather night.
Have all that stuff in the trunk of your car?
No. I don't wear leather. I wear my underwear. It's underneath my clothes already.
Nice. Perfect. So that brings me to my next question is that before the show we were – becoming acquainted, and you said that at one point you were a stripper, and was that here in town?
Over in Ybor. So technically the term is go-go dancer. It's easier to just call it a stripper, but if you talk to a go-go dancer and you call them a stripper, they would be very offended.
Nice.
but I used to go-go dance over at Bradley's, and that's actually how I was introduced to Esme.
Okay.
She doesn't remember it at the time, but I distinctly remember sitting off to the side during her performances in my cute little underwear and just kind of watching her do her thing while I was waiting for basically her to finish so I can make my money.
That's cool. So one of the things that we were looking, Steph saw some information about Esme, and it said that at one point Esme was like Miss Drag Florida,
mm-hmm.
or Miss Trans Florida.
Yes.
How cool is that?
Yeah, no, she's got such great stories with that. She literally went on WMNF. She talked to Randy Zimmerman, the general manager on her show. She just talked about when she won Miss Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was hanging out backstage, and Boy George showed up, and she hung out with him. And she was in a limo with Boy George and just partying with him.
That's cool.
And she's also talked about during that time she met Madonna. And she's got a wealth of knowledge. And that's something that's really cool about Esme because she's 62 years old.
Oh, okay.
So she's older than a lot of people. And she's been living as a female for, I think, 40, 45 years, almost 50 years now.
Pretty good at it now.
Yeah, she's been around the block a little bit. Which is why it's really funny when somebody who's like in their 40s or 30s and they're a TERF female, trans exclusionary radical feminist female, and they're in their 30s and you look at them and Esme's been a woman longer than they've been a woman.
Right.
So at the end of the day, what are you doing here?
Man,
it's not new.
We're going to have you back with Esme because I have an idea. I think Esme is probably, we would just hit play and we'd just all be standing back going, oh boy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, she's amazing when it comes to talking and having all these different stories. Like
right.
she, it's, And she just, it never stops with her.
Right.
It really doesn't, because like you think that you know everything about Esme Russell,
yeah,
and then she'll just pull some other random story out of her butt flap, and it's just like, there it is.
Well, that's you know, that's part of the mystique, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Okay. So just, this is just an out of the side question here. So Mark is considering entering the Ernest Hemingway contest in Key West.
Right.
What's your opinion? Does he stand a chance?
I'm going to need a little bit more information on what that is. Because I'm not enough. Sure of that.
Okay.
He's 23, honey.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of a child, so...
Might not know who Ernest Hemingway is.
And, no, and, I know of him.
And went to Seminole High School.
You're not missing much.
Sorry. Okay. Outside opinion. We're just trying to figure out if we should do it or not.
And
of course,
honestly,
you should do it.
I will always tell anybody, you never know what you can win if you don't actually try.
You got to go for it.
You got to go for it.
Exactly.
Well, which just is, like what I said to you earlier about the Powerball. You can't win if you don't play.
I was if you need the $2, if I give you $2, you stop and you buy a ticket, but you stop at a Publix.
Do you have any idea how pissed I'll be if he wins?
I know.
Well,
he better remember where that $2 came from.
I'm sure you'll get $2 back.
Yeah, we're talking about life-changing money. It's over $1 billion. That's a lot.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
What we talk about on that show, it was like to get like a grasp on the difference between a million and a billion. It was like a million seconds is like 11 days, mm-hmm. but a billion seconds is like 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's unbelievable. That might not be accurate, but it was that kind of.
I don't think I've hit a billion seconds yet.
No, seems fair and balanced. Right. Yeah. The whole money system.
Yeah. Man, oh man.
Love it.
That's cool. That's very cool. Yeah, I would have loved it if Esme had made it, but we'll have to do it again.
Yes.
We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you always do your shows live?
Yep. Every show
never
is live.
Never pre-recorded.
So there was only one single time that we've ever done a pre-recorded show, and that was with RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
She, Latrice Royale, she came down here for something over at the Billheimer Capitol Theater. And so she had her team reach out to me, and we set up an interview. And that was the only time that we did it, and honestly, I loved it, but it was one of those things where I would have much rather had done it actually live, because right. there was so much more that I wanted to talk about.
Sure, yeah.
That didn't necessarily get brought up. And when you do something pre-recorded, you have to do it at least like a couple days in advance so that you can edit it and everything like that.
Yeah.
And it just seems like the information and the stories that are told are a little bit stale, because we also go over current events and stuff like that. So if something major happened that day, like, then we can't necessarily talk about it unless we bring it into the news segment that Joanna does.
Right. Yeah. There's something totally different about doing live shows versus recorded shows. Mm-hmm. We've recorded a few over the years because we were going to be out of town, or Jesse, our nephew, was in town and we wanted to have him on the show, So for various reasons, we have pre-recorded shows. But it's different.
It is.
It's very different. And what we found, especially that the show when Jesse was here, is that everybody took advantage of the fact that it was going to be recorded instead of live. And the language just flew. And poor Steph is over there trying to mark down where all the F-bombs are and that kind of thing, so that she can send it to Joe edited without all that stuff. I can't even imagine what that show sounded like.
Well, and,
you know,
much show left.
It was like somebody shot it with a machine gun or something. It was like, what happened here?
Because we've always done the show either live or acted like it was live.
Right.
I don't know how to edit.
No, I don't either. Honestly, before I started doing the show, I never actually even touched Adobe Audition or anything along those lines. It was very, because when I decided to be done with the show back in like a year ago, I was very nervous about the fact that I had absolutely no idea anything about editing. But then
editing, going live, any of
the board and everything like that.
Okay, so here's the thing. We've been doing this show for like 9 years. I have no idea what she does over there. Zero.
I have to load the promos onto mm-hmm. his soundboard.
I have my soundboard here. I have the Skype so I can answer calls, right? And I
he
have
knows
the,
how to push those
the
buttons.
Clock. I know how to do what I know how to do. I mm-hmm. have no idea what she does. Zero.
And I show up.
I had to learn it all.
That's sort of where everybody else is. I'm really grateful because I reached out to Joanna, who does the news, and I've asked her to start taking on a little bit more of a hands-on role to try and get her to learn how to do what I do so that she can. I can basically have a day off. Right. But yeah, no, I experience that all the time. I'm like, nobody knows how to do the job other than I do.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah. And that's, you know, YouTube. Thank you.
So where we are with Sunshine, we are considered volunteers. Are you volunteer?
Yeah. We're all volunteers unless I do my
work. So we're in the same boat.
Yeah. Other than my work with Cox Media Group, which I've done a couple things on, I did stuff when it was Hot 101.5, God rest its soul. And I've gone onto The Bone a couple times. And, you know, those are fun and those are paid. We also with WMNF and the Big Gay Radio Show during Pride last year, Hot 101.5 decided to team up with us and we did a Pride brunch. And that was a lot of fun. That was over at Caddy's in Treasure Island. Okay. And that was a lot of cool time. Ann Kelly with the Dove came out and everything. Nice. It was a lot of fun.
Ann Kelly, man, radio legend.
Oh, she's amazing. I love Ann. Working with her is probably like one of the greatest things that I get to do. Because anytime that I see her in the studio at Cox Media Group, she immediately turns around. She has this just brightest smile on her face. She works so hard and she's just so genuine too.
I've never heard a bad thing about her, only the sweetest remarks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. It's good to have an ally, you know, ally like that, you know, in radio that you know, it's in your corner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there a lot of the people over at Cox Media Group are, you know, Drew Garabo has, he's an amazing person. Anytime that I work with Drew, he's just so genuine and like, cause he does have the, when back in the day he had the persona of being not
in
necessarily
in your face.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But when he's off the air, he is just such a genuine and he wants to go ahead and like better the community and better the radio as a whole. Like what he did with Down to Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. That was an amazing time. I was able to take pictures there and he was all over the place, shaking hands with everybody and just being such a genuine and kind guy.
I thought was very cool yesterday. I was on my way home and I was listening to Drew and John and in the studio was Drew's son, Xander.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing because I've been listening to them long enough. So I've been hearing him talk about Xander like as he was like a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's, what, 20?
Yeah.
And very well spoken. And just you can tell that a lot of Drew, because Drew's very, his linguistics are like on point.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this kid, Xander, was like, very well spoken. It was like, yeah, you get a lot of that from your dad. You know, it's it was cool to hear.
It's been so long since I've listened to The Bone that in my mind, Xander should still be like 8.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, what do you mean he's 20?
Yeah, I met Xander at Down to Bowl, and he was such a great person, too. And it's very evident that Drew's kind personality had worn off and was given to his son, because his son is just as kind as he is.
Yeah, yeah. So that's cool. So we are coming up on our break. We still have a few minutes before we have to take a break. One of the things that I do want to say is that I just want to remind everybody that we are out this evening at 7:30, not 8 o'clock. And the reason for that is because Sunshine 96.7 FM will be airing a live jazz performance by Osum Do Jazz. And I love jazz. I remember being not even old enough to go into the bars in Georgetown in Washington, D.C., and there was this place called The Saloon, and it was a great jazz bar. And just sitting in there and listening to the jazz, I don't know that I'm necessarily somebody who's going to listen to jazz on the reg, but like in that moment, in that space, it was like, this is so perfect.
Well, that's like going to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And you're walking down the street.
Well, this band that's going to be playing this evening is like nationally acclaimed. So anyway, if do yourself a favor this evening after our show and stay tuned and listen to the broadcast that's going to be happening. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised and pleased.
And fun to listen to. You'll be tapping your feet.
Tapping your feet. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take that break. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. right here on Radio St. Pete Online and on Sunshine, 96.7 FM Radio St. Pete, where local music lives. One of the other things we're going to do during this break is we're going to play some promos. You're going to hear another promo about this Osum Do jazz show that's going to be happening directly after our show. But then there's some shows that happen later than that and then throughout the weekend that going to want to check out, because it's a lot of great programming here on Radio St. Pete and Sunshine 96.7. So we're going to take this break. When we come back, maybe we'll give Chris a little bit of a break. We'll stop grilling him and we'll start talking about some silly stuff that we normally get into. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Sunshine 96.7 FM, WMTB LP, St. Petersburg. Radio St. Pete, where local music lives.
One and all, let us imbibe with the Marco Radio Show Happy Hour. This is Ed Rowe from the Boho Sideshow.
Thanks to a generous donor, a wonderful free opportunity for great jazz with Osum Do Jazz on the outdoor stage under the stars at the Arts Exchange. Osum Do Jazz, tonight at 7:30 at the Arts Exchange. And you can hear it live, right here, on Sunshine 96.7 FM, Radio St. Pete.
Hey, it's Rob Reinhart, your host for Acoustic Cafe. On the next show, we're going to dip into our archives for another Words and Music show. We've got nearly 30 years of archives from which to choose. And we will have some wonderful in-studio performances and words from those artists to go along with it. That is next time, a Words and Music show here on Acoustic Cafe.
Acoustic Cafe will start in the 9 o'clock hour tonight, immediately following our live broadcast of Osum Do Jazz from the Warehouse Arts District Arts Exchange on Radio St. Pete.
Hi, I'm Judy Carmichael. On my show, Jazz Inspired, I talk with fascinating creative people who love jazz. Join me this week when I talk with filmmaker Martin Shore about his new film, Take Me to the River, New Orleans, about the culture and music of that beautiful city.
Jazz Inspired, Saturday mornings at 6 on Sunshine 96.7 FM.
Mike Rickard and his friends keep up with the Pee-wees to the Preps to the Pros every Saturday, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in downtown St. Pete on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Don't miss the Sports Connection every Saturday morning at 11:06, live from Ferg's on our Florida Sports Stream Channel and St. Pete Sounds Channel, streaming at RadioSt.Pete.com and across Central Florida on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Be sure to be listening Saturday morning for a unique edition of the Florida Folk Show, broadcast live from research vehicle Western Flyer at the dock in Bayboro Harbor on the campus of USF St. Petersburg. The Florida Folk Show, live on board the Western Flyer, Saturday morning at 10 on Sunshine 96.7 FM and Radio St. Pete.com.
Coming up, a celestial event for the ages. Hey, I'm Elena C., and the Great North American Eclipse is crossing North America this week. So, of course, that means we've got to enjoy some music about the sun. Hope you can join me for some familiar folk favorites and new music from Jim Lauderdale, Valerie June, and more. Hope you'll join me this week on Folk Alley.
Sunday morning at 10:05 on Sunshine 96.7 FM.
This is Dave Smith, host of Ozark Highlands Radio. This week we bring you something completely different as we present, and I'm not kidding about this, an outer space bluegrass opera performed by the very talented Bluegrastronauts. As usual, I'll be making a trip down to the vault where my buddy Mark Jones has found an archival recording of mountain dulcimer master David Schnaufer this week on Ozark Highlands Radio.
Sunday afternoon at 1:10 on Sunshine 96.7 FM, Radio St. Pete.
Local music lives here. Sunshine 96.7 FM, WMTB LP, St. Petersburg. Sunshine 96.7 FM, Radio St. Pete.
My time's running wild, I mean, dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me, but I can't trace time. Size, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to go up out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's your shame? Your left is up to her next and in.
Time may change me,
but you can't twist time. Strange fascination, fascinating.
Changes are taking the pace I'm going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Oh, look out.
thanks to a generous donor, a wonderful free opportunity for great jazz with Osam Du Jazz on the outdoor stage under the stars at the Arts Exchange. Osam Du Jazz, tonight at 7:30 at the Arts Exchange. And you can hear it live, right here, on Sunshine 96.7 FM, Radio St. Pete.
All right, folks, we are back with the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We are going to do, I mentioned earlier that this is a shortened evening for us, so we've got about 25 minutes left, so sit down, pay attention.
Make it good.
It's going to go fast.
Yeah, right.
It's going to go fast, yeah.
Lightning round.
Yeah, 727-498-0502 is the number to call. Still not too late. We will talk to you about any old thing. If you want to call in and ask Chris any questions, I guess you would be willing to answer some questions if anybody called in. They won't. 727-498-0502, just so you know. We get very few calls.
One of my favorite things, because we also get calls during our show. So for the last, I think, so 2 weeks ago was the last time this person called. But before that, she called every single show for 8 weeks straight, back to back to back, about 50 times a show.
Oh, no.
She was one of these, the trans-exclusionary radical feminists.
Who
extremely upset about the fact that Esme was trans. What originally actually made her really mad was one of the promos that my roommate Sean Kelly does, is that he says, what happens when you mix two gay guys and a trans woman? You get one of Tampa Bay's best gay radio shows. She heard that and thought we were insinuating that she was a real woman as opposed to a trans woman.
Oh.
Real in quotations, obviously.
Sure.
And she was mad. She was mad, like screaming over and over and over again. So honestly, when you started saying, call in, you know, any calls are better than that.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great to have the free time that these people have?
Between midnight and 3 a.m. too.
Yeah. Like,
no less. On a Thursday.
That just means they don't have a job. They sleep all day. Mm-hmm. And this is their time to haunt. Mm-hmm. And stalk.
It actually, they started with us, and then they started calling other people on WMNF, and eventually they nipped it in the bud and can't, like, they blocked their number.
Right.
But we, she sent this massive email to the DJ email, and I took it and I read it on air and I called it Carinthians.
I love that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, one of my, so Scotty the Body over at Magic, I told him about her, and he gave me the best advice that he could possibly give me at the time, which was, if you get hate, turn it into content.
Right.
All right, Scotty the Body, gay?
Nope.
Okay.
That's allegedly.
I've heard that. I've heard allegedly gay.
Yeah. So honestly,
allegedly not gay?
Allegedly not gay.
Right.
Yeah. So I am not the type of person to really pass a, like, gaydar on another individual. But I think that, I think Scotty's very secure in himself.
Mm-hmm.
And if he were to be, a member of the LGBTQ community, then he would have probably came out by now, because he's very, very secure about who he is as a person. And also he was part of the, reason why we were able to do the Pride Brunch when it was with Hot 101.5, because he helped host it. So it was, he didn't help host it. He helped pitch the idea of having a Pride Brunch.
Let me ask you something about the whole coming out thing. So do you feel like now in 2024 that it's almost ridiculous if you haven't come out? I mean, it's like... I just feel, listen, and I'll be very honest with you. When I was in high school, okay, I graduated high school in 1982, all right? So the 4 years prior to that, when I was in high school, you weren't allowed to be gay. Mm. It was not a thing. It wasn't talked about. It wasn't anything. There were obviously folks in school that was like, I bet they're gay. But it wasn't a big deal. But it was at a point where... if you were found to be gay, you might be suspended from school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we are now in 2024, where it's a lot more in my mind, certainly a lot more open than it was then. If you are somebody who is in the closet, don't you think that's a little? It's like, come on, already, let's come out of there.
Yeah, no, from a outside perspective, mm-hmm. you do have a point. You're absolutely right. It mm-hmm. is definitely a lot better than it was way back in the day.
Sure, yeah.
When I came out in 2018. I came out publicly. I went on Facebook. I told everybody. I was like, you know, the sad thing was that the reason why I came out was because my uncle unfortunately passed away, and it dawned on me that he would never know that I was actually LGBTQ. And at the time, I thought that I was bisexual.
Was he?
No, he's a straight man, but he was very accepting. He was a very,
sure.
very, very, loving uncle. He was a great person. When I came out, my dad is a retired firefighter, and he had a lot of friends that was on his Facebook that he fought fires with. He put his life on the line with these people.
Sure.
And when I came out, they were very shocked that he didn't, disown me. He didn't want that he wanted to continue to support his son, because in their eyes, that's still anti-Christian. That's still anti everything.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's
so. They actually unfriended him off of Facebook when I came out because I was gay, and it had nothing to do with what my dad did. My dad is not gay. My dad's probably one of the straightest men that I know.
Do you think that when you came out, anybody was surprised?
No.
Right.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, you're talking to somebody who did musical theater since like sixth grade.
Do you think your parents were surprised?
So my mom actually thought it was a phase. And I'm like, you think it's a phase, hon? I'm over here singing West Side Story. Well, I was over here singing West Side Story down the halls of my middle school. I guarantee you I know that I'm a gay man. I promise you that.
I love that. Right.
I promise. Like, anybody who's singing show tunes in middle school in front of other people and not giving a damn about what other people think,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm fairly confident they spent that time, you know, considering that. And so, honestly, to what you're talking about earlier, yes, you're absolutely right. It is ridiculous that people have to come out in 2024. But it's even more ridiculous that there's people who would pass judgment on even another individual on their reaction to their son.
Yeah.
So in my eyes,
it's pitiful.
It is. Mm-hmm. As a parent, you should always be accepting your child no matter what. You know, like there's parents whose children turned out to be murderers and yet they're still calling them in jail.
Right.
You should never disown your child because of what they chose to do. That's going to be your flesh and blood for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I've heard conversations where it's like, man, if your kid did something so heinous where they actually, you know, killed somebody, I mean, would you turn them in? And I'm thinking, as much as I love Ty or his sister Hannah, if they had done something so barbaric and so heinous, it'd be like, look, man, we're going to have to go and work this out. But I mean, I can't hide you from that.
That's different than disowning.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's completely different. Because what, in that instance, like, you would still probably, if you did get arrested.
Well, you're never going to get away with it anyway.
Like, exactly. You know, you would still probably go through them through the court system and everything like that. So, honestly, it's unfathomable to me that people would have that sort of ideology.
Yeah.
And it's to say it's
especially
also,
towards their children.
Exactly. And not even that, towards the children of somebody you're friends with. Like, these weren't people who were my family. They weren't related to me by blood. The only connection that we had was the fact that my dad was a firefighter at the same station as they were. And so for them to, for them to believe that their opinion would have any difference on my dad. You know, he just was like, all right, you know what? I'm done. See you later. Never. Yeah. No, I won't talk to you again.
showed the true character.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, because there's a lot of people that say that it's a choice. So when did you know?
So I knew probably when I was around 6 years old, and I kissed my first girl. Her name was Margarita. That's why I love margaritas now. I kissed my first...
Salty.
Yeah.
Go girl.
Salty rim.
A little salty rim. So I was 6 years old. I kissed this girl, Margarita, and I was like, I don't feel anything. I feel like I'm going through the motions, basically. Like, I felt like I was definitely, like, just doing what I was told.
Yeah.
And at the time, I obviously didn't know what gay was. I didn't know anything.
At six, right.
At six. And then when I started getting unrestricted internet access, that's kind of when I understood a little bit more. And also, kids are brutal, man. Like, there were times, because I was definitely an effeminate kid. I was definitely a lot more feminine than the other kids in my class. And they called me a faggot a lot when I was younger. And I went home to my parents, and I'm like, what is a faggot? I don't know what that is. And so at that time, you know, we were also talking about, you know, various different sexual videos that we've seen on any internet, like being teenage boys and all that stuff. And eventually I put two and two together that, you know, there's a way to be gay and also have sexual, like, orientation. Sure. So I looked up what gay porn was at that time. And I was like, that's a lot better than the alternative.
That's a lot better than Margarita.
And that was a lot better than Margarita.
Or their salty rim.
So, I mean, at that time, once I realized what it was, I knew. I didn't come out. I came out as bisexual to my mom when I was 16, because she stole my, well, not stole, but she took my phone away from me, like, and went through the search history. Not something I usually would recommend you do, especially for a teenage boy, but you're going to find some stuff that you're probably not going to want.
Brave move.
Brave move, mom.
That's on you. Whatever you see is on you.
Whatever you found. And so she confronted me on it, and she's like, so, oh, what are you feeling? And I'm like, at the time I was like, I feel bi. I mean, I don't know, because I had a girlfriend at the time. Because I was still going through the motions and everything. And then 2 years later, I'm like, you know, I broke up with my girlfriend. I'm like, I looked at, like, my relationships as a whole with every girlfriend that I've ever had. And most of them, if not all of them, the woman asked me out. Yeah. I didn't necessarily go
initiate.
I didn't initiate it.
Right.
And in my eyes, I feel like because I was so young and naive, I thought that the closeness of friendship
it's flattering.
Was love.
It's flattering if somebody's showing you that kind of attention. It's almost like, it's like, okay, you have now flattered me with this attention. Now it's up to me to
reciprocate it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when I, I told my mom, at 17, because I made that analysis at, like, 17, and I was like, I'm out. I need to come out. I need to do this, and I'm going to be gay at 17. And I talked to my friends. Like, I was open to my friends about it. I didn't necessarily, like, go public too much about it, but I was talking to my friends about it. Like, I'm not going to ever have a girlfriend again, probably. And then my
that,
parents...
That may or may not be true.
No, but when you say you talk to your friends about it, just like what I was saying earlier, back when I was in high school, I mean, it was not talked about. It was totally taboo. And then what I thought was interesting is that when Ty and my daughter were going to school, now all of a sudden there's, like, the Gay Alliance Club. And I'm like, that never would have existed when I was in school. Yeah. I mean, just...
Those would have been the expelled kids.
Yeah, those would have been the kids. Yeah, come to the club.
They would have
been rounded up and shipped off somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the way it was. I don't know.
Which is an unfortunate, you know. So I'm appreciative of the progress.
Yeah.
But it seems like for every step forward, there are 14 steps of wall pushing back.
No, because people are still afraid.
What do you think about, and this is something that just came to my mind, and I've seen this, and I've always thought that how horrible must this be? Who came up with this? Is like the whole re-indoctrination training?
Okay.
Conversion therapy.
So, we don't have much time. But,
right.
So the whole indoctrination as a whole has been a authoritarian rhetoric from even before Nazi times. The idea that, you know, these people are going to take over our children and corrupt them. That was something that even the Native Americans experienced when we had the essential quote unquote conversion camps, when we would essentially
steal
teach away
land.
The Native American from the children. It's honestly kind of, you know, hypocritical, to
take
be honest.
Take the savage out of them.
Exactly. Right. So the indoctrination aspect of life, it's not a new concept. This has been something that's been going on for centuries now. It's come in different forms.
But pick your indoctrination.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a different it's a different target each time. You know, it's either the Jews during the Holocaust.
Sure.
It's either the Native Americans during the Trail of Tears era.
The Japanese. But
the Japanese, exactly.
But do they not own a mirror?
Yeah.
Who's indoctrinating?
It gets dumb people to go out and vote. That's,
exactly.
That's
it's
what it
the fear. It's the fear of the potential change in their children. And also, a lot of people, at least from what I've experienced, is that they don't necessarily care about whether or not I'm gay. They care about their kid being gay.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care necessarily. They're fine with me going around and being like, I'm a gay man. But they don't want their kid to also go up and say, I'm a gay man just like them, because they're going to think that the gayness just like
rubs off.
Exactly. It's a disease, and that's just not at all right.
Mm. Yeah. That's something else, man. We are some kind of race of people, man. It's amazing to me. All the different people that make up this world, and it's crazy. That so many of the ones that you would think are deplorable are in charge.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is frightening to me.
Because they crave power.
Yeah. Anyway.
And they want to tell everyone how to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm looking at all of my notes here, and I don't think we're going to be able to get to any of them, except for...
Yeah, because we have like just 2-3 minutes.
That's good. You can save that.
One of the things I did want to ask you, Chris, is did you by any chance bring a Matter Daddy with you?
Oh, I do have one.
You have a Matter Daddy?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Wait, okay. So wait, what do you mean by a Matter Daddy? Like,
this didn't work. You were supposed to say, oh, what's a Matter Daddy? I was going to go, oh, not really anything major. Just you were going to say, what's the matter, Daddy? And I was going to say,
oh, I get it. So honestly, I thought that you meant like as in, you know, like a sugar daddy.
No.
You know, I thought that you were like trying to put it in a sort of way there. And I'm like, yeah, how do you think that I'm affording to live in St. Petersburg?
Right. Yep. Well, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Good try. You know?
Maybe you should have presented it as a knock-knock joke.
Honestly, I was thinking more so along the lines of we're just going into a different topic, you know, talking about the sugar daddy lifestyle and stuff like that, which I mean, I can talk about that.
Notes for the future. Don't ever ask a gay man if he has a matter daddy with him.
Honestly, you know.
Because he's got some kind of daddy with him.
I do definitely have a daddy. You know, honestly, that's great because that you said that. Because, like, something that I found funny on TikTok a little bit ago was a person talking about what a demon twink is.
Yeah.
And a demon twink is basically what a twink without a handler.
And I'm pretty sure that that's what Ty is. He's a demon
twink. Well, a handler is like just basically
death metal demon twink.
The handler,
you know what?
Is
I'll take it.
Gonna go ahead and yeah, definitely where I'm.
All right, listen. I hate to break this off, and I'm not even going to have time for my quotes. I usually do quotes at the end of every show. I will do one quote, and it's because Ty brought it up last week, and I love it. It's, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough.
Yes.
So that's the quote that I will throw out this week. Stephanie, we are so close. Do you have anything that you want to add here at the end of the show?
Happy Friday. Weather's beautiful.
Ty again.
I don't know. Whatever.
You don't know. Chris, anything you want to add? You want to just plug your show real quick?
Yeah, so the Big Gay Radio Show is on 88.5 FM, WMNF Community Radio, from Thursday mornings midnight to 3 a.m.,
yeah.
And we love doing it.
Excellent. I will say, as I always do, Semper Fi, Devil Dogs, I Miss You, Mom, and Duchess, it's about that time. But I will also say, Chris, it's been a pleasure having you here in the studio. I was hoping that it would go as well as it did. And I'm really sorry that Esme didn't make it. And let's promise to do it again and bring Esme in.
Definitely.
Let's do that. Because I think we'd have a good time.
We've also got Brian Hinkson, who's another good person when it comes to doing interviews with. And, you know, we're also trying to expand a little bit more, too.
It's so funny when you hear people on the radio, because I've heard Brian on the radio from time to time. Not a lot, but I, you know, because you hear people on the radio, you almost, it's like, you start to feel like, I kind of know that person.
Yeah.
But you don't know them at all.
No.
You just hear their voice. You know what I mean? But anyway. All right, folks, listen, I told you earlier that we had a shortened show this evening. We've got to get out of here before 7:30. So, listen, we appreciate speaking with you every Friday evening and look forward to speaking with you again next Friday. Here's a little In Spite of Ourselves. Dig this and see you next week.
She don't like her eggs all runny. She thinks crossing her legs is funny. She looks down her nose at money. She gets it on like the Easter Bunny. She's my baby, I'm her honey. I'm never gonna let her go.
He ain't got laid in a month of Sundays. Caught him once and he was sniffing my undies. He ain't too sharp, but he gets things done. Drinks his beer like it's oxygen. But he's my baby and I'm his honey. Never gonna let him go.
In spite of ourselves, we'll end up sitting on a rainbow. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize. We're gonna spike our noses right off of our faces. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. She thinks all my jokes are corny. Convict movies make her horny. She likes ketchup on her scrambled eggs. Swears like a sailor when she shaves her legs. She takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I'm never gonna let her go.
He's got more balls than a big brass monkey. He's a whacked out weirdo and a love bug junkie. Sly as a fox, crazy as a loon. Payday comes and he's a howling at the moon. But he's my baby, I don't mean maybe. Never gonna let him go.
In spite of ourselves, we'll end up sitting on a rainbow. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize. We're gonna spike our noses right off of our faces. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. In spite of ourselves, we'll end up sitting on a rainbow. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize. But we're gonna spite our noses right off of our faces. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes. In spite of ourselves.